Welcome to Tuned to Yesterday, broadcasting programs from the golden age of radio. I'm your host, Mark Levonier, bringing you an hour of crime. Later on, Vincent Price stars as the Saint, but first, an episode of The Lineup, heard on CBS on November 23rd, 1950.
Glaring lights will pass before us the innocent, the vagrant, the thief, the murderer. This is The Lineup.
Mr. Kramer, suit yourself.
All right. Well, what's wrong with right here? I sure won't need no ringside seat to peg that dame again.
Where was she burned up? The minute she climbed to my cab, I got down.
Well, she certainly wasn't mad when I saw her. She was scared.
Scared, stiff.
Well, that was about 45 minutes later, Mr. Kramer, when she went in your drugstore.
Yeah, plenty can happen in 45 minutes.
May I have your attention, please? You people out there on the other side of the wire in the audience room, may I have your attention, please?
All right.
Thank you. My name is Greb, Sergeant Matt Greb. I'll explain the lineup to you. Each of the suspects you will see will be numbered. I'll call off a number, their name and charge. If you have any questions or identifications, call out the number. If you're sure or not too sure of the suspect, have her held. The officers who took your name will assist you. They're seated among you.
But you're going to get some
please
tankers
be prompt
up there,
with your questions or identifications. When the prisoners leave here, the matron takes them back to the bathroom where they dress back into their jail clothes. It makes it quite difficult to bring them back after they leave here. The questions I ask these suspects are merely to get a natural tone of voice. So do not pay too much attention to their answers as they often lie. Bring on the line. All right, girls. All right, this way. Move on over to the end of the stage. That's it. Now turn around and face front. Hands to your side. You, hands to your side. Now look straight ahead. Number one, Georgina Kelso, theft. Ever been arrested before, Georgina?
I've been arrested before.
Where were you when the officer arrested you, Georgina?
He was no officer. It was just a spot.
What were you wearing when you tried to leave the store?
A dress.
What else?
Three other dresses underneath.
Number two, Colleen Hodges, assault. Where do you live?
That's a good question.
Where did you used to live, Colleen?
414 Front Street, third floor.
Why did you beat up your landlady?
We didn't get along.
Number three, Margaret Kentline, open charge. How long have you been in town, Margaret?
About 8 years.
Where are you from?
That's her, Lieutenant. That's the
Denver,
one.
Colorado.
What do you say, Mr.
Have
Kramer?
You ever been arrested?
It's the girl, all right. No doubt about it.
Sergeant Graham.
Yes, Lieutenant.
Hold number three for interrogation.
Say, Ben, I'll be down in communications if you want me. We're letting a couple of them go. Nobody identified them. Okay?
Yeah, sure.
Oh, here. Here's those cigarettes you wanted.
Oh, thanks, man. Well, sit down, Miss Kenline.
Thank you.
I'm Lieutenant Ben Guthrie. You like one of these?
Thanks.
Now, Miss Kenline, how long were you engaged to Larry Zimmerman?
Lieutenant Guthrie, about 4 months.
4 months. The cab driver who took you to Zimmerman's place at 5 this afternoon said you were angry.
I was.
At Zimmerman?
Yes. I guess it's an old story until it happens to you. I found out this afternoon that Larry had been seeing another woman. It's been going on for weeks. Right under my nose. I was humiliated and hurt. Well, when I found out, I went to his apartment to really read him off good.
Mm-hmm. Now, who is this other woman? You know her?
Her name is Edith DeRocca. Lieutenant Guthrie, I didn't kill Larry. I didn't do it.
You have a business here in town, haven't you, Miss Kenline?
Yes.
A dress shop, isn't it? Run it alone?
No, I have a partner, Mr. Spees, Lloyd Spees.
I see. How's it going?
All right. Good. We're having a style show downtown tonight. Lloyd's taking care of us.
Mm-hmm. You stopped in a drugstore at 5:45 tonight on the corner opposite Larry's apartment house. The druggist noticed you because you were frightened.
I explained that once.
Well, explain it to me, please.
Larry's apartment was unlocked. I went in and found him in the bedroom. He'd been stabbed.
But why did that take you 45 minutes?
I don't know. I didn't realize it did. I was dazed, I guess.
I should think you would have been. By the way, who is Rifkin?
Rifkin? I don't know.
Mm-hmm. Okay, Miss Kenline. Thanks. I guess that's it. The coroner says Larry Zimmerman died just about 5 o'clock.
Lieutenant Guthrie, may I call a lawyer?
Well, sure, if you want to. But I don't believe it's necessary, Miss Kenline. I think we're going to turn you loose. Matt, close the window and sit down, will you? You're making me nervous.
Oh, I'd be nervous if I were you, all right. I'd be good and nervous.
Close the window, huh?
I don't understand it, that's all. I just don't understand.
Understand what?
Why you let her go, that Kenline girl?
I told you she's being followed. I put Peters on her.
Yeah, but even so...
Well, we couldn't have held her anyway, not for long. Besides, there's a couple of other items, Matt. That manila envelope they found up there with the name Rifkin on it, for one. Ripped open and empty. If we knew what had been in it...
Uh-huh, yeah.
And then, Matt, from the looks of the bedroom, Zimmerman put up quite a struggle, so the boys say. More than you'd expect if he was fighting with a woman.
Even a jealous one, mad enough to kill him? I don't know, Ben.
Well, come on, Matt. Let's go out there and have a look.
Evening, Lieutenant.
Hi, sir.
Hello, Becker.
How goes it, Becker?
Okay. That wagon just left. Must be about cleaned up.
Sergeant Mayall's inside there.
Hey, Max, let me have some more of that dust.
Come on, man.
Thank you, boy.
No, don't touch it.
Mayall.
Yeah. Oh, hiya, Ben. Matt.
Hi.
We're just about through. Nothing much. Everything in the place is loaded with prints.
Huh?
Except the handle of the knife.
Where's the bedroom?
That door there. Over the way, Ben. Here's something.
An earring. Where'd this come from?
Yeah, it was tangled up in the rug under the body.
Oh, let's see it.
I'm not much of a jeweler, but I can recognize the real thing, and that's it, all right, a topaz. Huh. Pay the rent for a few months.
You say you found this earring in the rug under the body?
Excuse me, sir, but Sergeant Mayall, that guy's back again. That same guy in the gray Homburg hat. Just went past down the hall.
Now, what guy is this?
Oh, some character that's been kind of hanging around for the last half hour. I guess
Never mind, Mayall. We'll talk to him. Where'd you go, Becker?
Down the hall to your left there, Lieutenant. There's a lounge down that way.
All right. I'd
better get another one from right here if you want. Right. I'll take
good.
It from
here. That's good.
Uh-huh. That must be the guy there, Ben.
Yeah.
Well, good evening.
Hmm? Oh, how are you?
Do you live here in the building?
No.
We're from the police department. I'm Lieutenant Guthrie. This is Sergeant Graham.
Oh, how do you know?
You waiting for someone, Mr. Rifkin?
I have to give you credit, Lieutenant.
That initial on your tie bar helped. There's been some trouble down the hall, Mr. Zimmerman's apartment.
Yeah, so I noticed.
You seem pretty interested in it, Mr. Rifkin.
Well, you had my name, Sergeant, so maybe you know why I'm interested.
No, we don't. Why are you?
Zimmerman owed me some money, Lieutenant. I expect it to be paid tonight, close to $25,000.
That's quite a debt.
And it was my money in the first place. No profit.
I don't follow you.
He was a broker, investments. I placed that money with him to be invested. Then I found out he was trimmed on his last deal. He took an awful beating. I told him I was pulling my money out before it went, too. Told him that this morning on the phone. He didn't like it, but he said he'd have it for me tonight.
Zimmerman's been murdered. I guess you figured that.
Yes, but how did you get my name? Do you mind?
No. We found it on a manila envelope in his bedroom.
Oh, and the money? Well, what about
the envelope? The envelope had been opened. It was empty.
What? That money's gone? Robbed, huh?
Looks that way.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the way it looks. Well, I guess that takes care of that, huh?
Just a minute.
Where do you live, Mr. Rifkin? We may want to get in touch with you.
Sure. I hope so. The Beekman Plaza, room 220. The first name's Walter.
Room 220. Okay. Well, smoke, Ben?
Uh-huh, thanks.
You've got to get back for the lineup, don't you, man?
Well, pretty soon.
You coming?
No. And let me have that earring, Matt.
Yeah.
I'm going to look up a lady.
Mr. Roker, who are you?
Police Department, Lieutenant Ben Guthrie.
Oh. Well, I'm still glad to know you, Ben.
I want to talk to you for a minute, if I may.
Right now? Well, I'm in a big hurry, Ben. I got a day.
It's important, Mr. Roker. About Larry Zimmerman's death.
Oh. I already heard about that. Poor Larry.
You don't seem too broken up, Edith.
You think it'd help any?
No. You're not wearing your earrings, Edith.
Hmm?
Uh-huh. The pinch mark shows.
That's why I'm not wearing them. They pinched, so I took them off. Hey, look, am I under arrest or something?
No.
Then I really got to run along. Look, I'll be back about midnight. Then we can go inside and be comfortable and talk about anything you want for as long as you want. That is, if you care to wait, Lieutenant.
I might just do that, Mr. Roker. We'll see. That dress shop on the corner must be the one.
Yeah. How come the lights are still on?
Well, they had a style show. Spee's the partner in it. Stop here, Becker.
Yes, sir.
And wait in the car for us. Come on, man.
Right. Must be in the back.
Mr. Spees, open the door. We're police.
Police? Well, come in, please.
Thank you. I'm Lieutenant Guthrie. This is Sergeant Greb, Mr. Spees.
Well, how do you do?
Hello.
How do
you
do? I suppose you've heard about Larry Zimmerman?
Yes. Yes, I have. It's a terrible thing. Margaret, Miss Kenline, told me. In fact, she just called me from her place not 5 minutes ago. She's frightened. She thinks she's being followed.
Yeah, I know. There's nothing to be worried about, Mr. Spees. It's a plainclothes officer.
An office? Oh, I see.
Mr. Spees, we'd like to know how Miss Kenline got acquainted with Larry Zimmerman.
Well, as a matter of fact, it was through me. Yes, but Larry and I were quite good friends. We lived next door to each other, for over a year.
Do you know much about his business, Mr. Spees? How he made his living?
Well, no, not much. Actually, he was sort of an adventurer, really. Quite a successful one, I always thought. Very clever with money. Investment sort. A gambler, in a sense.
In the market, you mean?
Oh, yes. I always counted my pennies and envied the nerve Larry had to plunge.
Mr. Spees, do you happen to know if Miss Kenline had topaz earrings? We found one at Zimmerman's place.
Oh, forgive me, Lieutenant Guthrie, but I really believe we should try to get in touch with Margaret, Miss Kenline. You see, I told her if she was afraid to stay home, she should leave and go to my place. That's Monroe Avenue, 4111. Now, I'd planned on leaving...
All right, maybe you're right. What's her number?
Oh, it's Abby, 2344. On the phone's right there. Yes, that's right. Well, she's really quite upset, you know, Sergeant. It's got me worried, too, you know. Anything should happen tomorrow, I just don't know what I'd do, really.
Yes. I can appreciate how you feel.
No answer, Matt? She must have already left.
No answer. Hello?
Hello. Who's it?
Peters?
Yeah.
This is Lieutenant Guthrie.
Oh, I lost her, Lieutenant. She's gone. I was slugged. A man in a gray hat. A Homburg.
Well, it was a phony, all right, Ben. Walter Rifkin hasn't lived in the Beekman Plaza in 5 years. But we dug up a home address on him and an office set up downtown.
Yeah, well?
Oh, nothing, Ben. The office was just a bunch of stockbrokers' catalogs and a wastebasket full of scribbled figures. Nothing more.
And the house?
Mrs. Rifkin and two cats. Says she hasn't seen husband Walter in a week. And I don't think she cares if she ever sees him.
Well, how'd you make out?
Rifkin's never been arrested. There's not a line on him in the files.
So?
So I'm stupid.
Now, easy.
I should have played it your way, Matt. Should have kept Margaret Kenline under arrest and locked up Walter Rifkin just to keep her company.
Maybe, but you didn't, Ben, so let's take it from there.
Yeah, might as well. Matt, look. One, Larry Zimmerman was killed.
Two, Margaret Kenline could have killed him.
I don't think so.
Why not? Soft face, soft voice, Ben?
No. Walter Rifkin. Matt, if Margaret Kenline did kill Zimmerman, why did Rifkin go after her? The missing 25 grand, maybe?
Well, that's a good reason, Ben. That's a lot of dough.
Yeah, I guess it is. Hello? Who? Oh, yeah, put him on, Sergeant. Manny Pomeroy, Matt. This'll cost us a little, but it might be worth it. I talked to him about Rifkin earlier tonight. Yeah, hello, Manny. Oh, fine, thanks. Yeah? Well, what did you find out? Uh-huh. Oh, yeah, sure, it can be important. A blonde, huh? Edith, somebody? Edith, you sure? Okay, just checking. Yeah, but sure. Sure, it's a help, Manny, sure. Well, come around in the morning, will you? Yeah. So long.
Good news, Ben?
Yeah. Pomeroy says that Rifkin has a girlfriend in town, a blonde, an Edith somebody.
Edith DeRocca, Ben?
Yeah, Edith DeRocca. The reason Larry Zimmerman tossed Margaret over. But this is a new angle, Matt. Edith tying into Rifkin. You want to come along? It's the Marlboro Hotel.
Well, I can't right away, Ben. I got to run a late lineup for the narcotics board.
Okay. Look for you later, Matt.
Oh, you again. Hey, I thought you guys worked in shifts.
I'd like to talk to you, Mr. Roca.
I'm too tired. I still got to put my hair up.
Mr. Roca, were you at Walter Rifkin's apartment tonight? Since I saw you, I mean.
No.
You sure?
I'm positive.
You weren't in the neighborhood?
I wasn't within a mile of a neighborhood.
One of my men says different.
Then tell him to ask for a pension. He's going blind.
Now, look, Mr. Roca.
You look, Mr. Cop. When I left here, I went to the Broadmoor Bar and Grill. I never moved out of it until I came back here. And just in case you don't get around much, the Broadmoor is on Lancaster and East 39th, a couple of fat miles from East 60th and Chelsea. Know anything else, Ben? If so, get a warrant and arrest me, huh? I'm very tired.
Lieutenant. The next corner is 60th and Chelsea. A garage, a vacant lot, a duplex, and an apartment house.
Okay, Becker. Wait here. Sergeant Greb and I'll try the apartment house first. That should be it. Come on, man.
Yeah. Say, Ben.
Huh?
That Edith DeRocca, do you think she'd tip off Lipkin?
I sure do. But I had the hotel desk refuse her an outside line if she asked for one, and I called in for a squad car to pick her up. She won't be in the way. Well, we'll see if this is it. Mailboxes are over there.
Wait, Ben.
Hmm?
There's an elevator boy.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, can I help you, gentlemen?
We're from the police department. Does Mr. Walter Rifkin have an apartment here?
Yes, sir. He certainly does. 3D. Oh, I guess you don't want to be announced, though, huh?
Why do you guess that? Been any trouble?
Oh, not exactly trouble.
Then what happened, son?
Oh, nothing much. It was just a girl. I think he called her Margaret. Maybe it was Marjorie. Anyhow, she ran out of here a little while ago. Came down the steps and got in a cab outside.
Mr. Rifkin was after her?
He sure was. But she got away. Rifkin went back upstairs.
So when was this?
Oh, about 10 minutes ago. You want to go up?
I think we'd better.
Say, bet you fellas go out on plenty of strange cases, huh? At all hours. I mean... Third floor, to your right.
Thanks. Go on back downstairs, son.
Yes, sir.
Cover me, man.
Right.
Who is it?
The police, Mr. Rifkin. Lieutenant Guthrie.
Well, Lieutenant, what brings you here?
Mr. Roker was very helpful, Mr. Rifkin.
Edith.
She said she didn't want to be mixed up in a murder, Mr. Rifkin.
May we come in?
Why, sure, why not? I have nothing to hide. Come in, gentlemen. The living room straight ahead.
This is far enough, Mr. Rifkin.
What?
The lieutenant means that pocketbook on the table there.
Oh, that. Well, it's...
Don't waste a lot of time, Mr. Rifkin. The pocketbook isn't that important. We know what happened. The elevator boy told us about Margaret Kenline running out of here. The police officer you sapped at Miss Kenline's apartment got a good look at you first.
Now, look, Lieutenant, what I told you before was the
truth. Not all of it. You didn't tell us about Edith DeRocca being your girlfriend.
How does she fit in?
Well, we were working together. I wanted Larry Zimmerman's files, his contacts, names, and numbers. I wanted the inside track that he had. I'd know what to do with it. Getting all that was Edith's job.
What about Margaret Kenline? Why did you bring her up here?
Because I think she killed Zimmerman, and whoever killed Zimmerman must have gotten the money that was supposed to be returned to me.
Did you find it on her?
No. She got away from me before I could search her.
You have looked through her purse there?
Looked through 10 times. It's not there. But what is there, Lieutenant, convinced me. I've got the right party.
What do you mean? Hand me the purse, man.
I mean that I found a receipt in that pocketbook for a pair of earrings. A pair of topaz earrings.
What do you know about those?
All I know is what I heard a cop say over at Zimmerman's place. That one topaz earring was found on the rug under the body, right?
Yeah. Let's see what's in it.
Compact, lipstick, wallet, pack of lifesavers, another lipstick, and a receipt. Made out to Miss Margaret Kenline for one pair of topaz earrings.
Soft face, soft voice, I mean. My mistake. Mr. Rifkin. Does Margaret Kenline know that you've seen this receipt?
No, I didn't go through her stuff until after she ran.
Good. Maybe she didn't run too far, then.
Yeah, her partner's place, Lloyd Spees, Monroe Avenue, 4111.
Say, if you find her and she still has my money, I'll get it?
Probably, Mr. Rifkin. But exactly what you'll do with it for a while, I don't know.
What do you mean?
The lieutenant means that you're under arrest for assaulting an officer, among other things. Oh, Ben, do you want to have a second look at any of this stuff?
No, I don't think so. Receipt's enough for me, Matt. I'm so... Hey, Matt. Look at this.
What, the receipt again?
Yeah. Read it carefully, Matt. Then take Mr. Rifkin in, will you? I'll see you at the morning lineup.
Why, Lieutenant Guthrie, I didn't expect to see you again tonight. Well, come in.
Thanks. Mr. Spees, has Margaret been here?
Why, no, she had. Well, not tonight. I mean, you care for a drink, Lieutenant?
Spees.
Yes, Lieutenant?
She was here, wasn't she?
Oh, no. She... Oh, well, what difference does it make? Yes, she was here about 20 minutes ago. She killed Larry, Lieutenant.
She said that?
Yes, when I mentioned the earring that you said was found in Zimmerman's apartment, she stopped trying to hide things. She admitted everything. Wasn't very nice to hear.
Jealousy was her motive, huh? I'll take that drink now, Mr. Spees.
Yes, it was jealousy, Lieutenant.
Uh-huh. And when she left, she give you any idea where she was heading?
No, she didn't, Lieutenant. No place at all is what she said when I asked her. What are you looking for, Lieutenant?
No place at all could be suicide, Spees.
I know, but she's a murderess, Lieutenant. I didn't try to stop her. Should I have?
Could you have?
Stopped her?
Stopped her? And turned her over to me? Could you have done that, Spees?
Well, of course, I suppose so. Why not, Lieutenant?
For one good reason. Your life, Spees. You see, I think you murdered Larry Zimmerman.
Me? Oh, no. It was Margaret. I told you that.
Yes, I know, but I don't believe you. I even think Margaret's still here, someplace in this house. You haven't had time to take her no place at all.
Yes, but the earrings, aren't they important? Don't they count?
Sure they do, sure. More than anything else. More than you know. I have the receipt for those earrings.
Yes, a receipt made out to Margaret, is that right?
Right, to Margaret. For a pair of topaz earrings, which she rented.
Which? Rented?
Mm-hmm. For one of the models in tonight's fashion show, no doubt. The fashion show, Spees, that you ran because Margaret wasn't going and you were. So it was you who had the earrings, not Margaret. And you who dropped one of them at Larry Zimmerman's. Again, not Margaret. Now, where is she, Spees?
I don't know. She isn't here, I don't. But stay away from that door.
She in the bedroom? Is she in the bedroom?
Yes. Tied up, but she's all right. I wasn't going to do anything until later. I had to kill Zimmerman.
Why, Spees? Did you invest with him, too?
Yes, it was only $2,000, but that was every cent I had in the world. When he told me I'd lost my money, I just went out of my mind. You know the rest.
Yes. And Walter Rifkin's money, the $25,000 that was in the envelope. You have it?
Yes. It's inside. Lieutenant, I wish I'd never met Larry Zimmerman. Oh, I wish I'd never heard of you. Oh, no.
The Lineup, where before you pass the innocent, the vagrant, the thief, the murderer. Listen again next week when we again bring you The Lineup.
May I have your attention, please? You people out there on the other side of the wire in the audience room, may I have your attention, please? Thank you. My name is Greff, Sergeant Matt Greff. I'll explain the lineup to you. Each of the suspects you will see will be numbered. I'll call off a number, their name and charge. If you have any questions or identifications, call out the number. If you're sure or not too sure of the suspect, have it there. The officer who took your name...
The Lineup, starring William Johnstone as Lieutenant Ben Guthrie and Wally Mayer as Sergeant Matt Greb, was written by Gene Levitt and Robert Mitchell, with music by Eddie Dunstetter. Featured in tonight's cast were John Stevenson, Ken Christie, Gene Bates, Irene Winston, Sidney Miller, Howard McNear, and Eddie Firestone. The Lineup is produced and directed by Jaime Del Valle.
The Lineup, on Tuned to Yesterday from the 23rd of November, 1950, on CBS. This is an hour of crime on Tuned to Yesterday. I'm your host, Mark Levonier. Now time for a broadcast of The Saint, which is a repeat script of one that they had used 2 years previous to this broadcast. And repeats during radio's yesteryear weren't that big of a deal and usually were repeated by request. Nowadays, it is hard to remember that once a person heard a show or saw a movie or a TV program, they most likely wouldn't see it ever again unless it was repeated. This episode called A Schizophrenic Psychiatrist, starring Vincent Price on the Mutual Broadcasting System from September 18, 1949.
The Adventures of the Saint, starring Vincent Price. On characters created by Leslie Charteris and known to millions from books, magazines, and motion pictures. The Robin Hood of modern crime now comes to radio, starring Hollywood's brilliant and talented actor Vincent Price as the Saint.
Hello.
Who is... Oh.
How is my favorite shipboard acquaintance this evening?
Oh, Simon, you startled me. I can hardly see you through the fog here on deck.
Oh, yes, it is getting thicker, isn't it? But I suppose it's to be expected. Last night, nature went on a binge of moonshine, and this is her foggy morning after.
Oh. Only it's evening.
How can you tell through the fog? You know, you have a very pretty laugh, Barbara. I'll listen for it in all of your pictures from now on.
Thank you, Simon. But I'm not going to make any more pictures. I'm retiring.
Retiring? At the peak of your career?
I'm just tired of pictures, that's all.
Barbara, you'll never be able to run away from it.
What do you mean?
I'm referring to whatever it is that frightens you. Why don't you tell me about it, Barbara?
There's nothing to tell. I'm tired. I need a rest. Please, Simon, don't make me talk about it. There's some things that... Simon, is that someone standing there?
No. No, I don't see anyone. You are nervous.
Oh, Simon, if only I could confide in someone, if I could tell you what I...
Perhaps I already know more than you think I do. You're cold.
Yes.
Where's your wrap?
Over there someplace on one of those decks.
I'll find it. I don't see it here, Barbara. Are you sure you... Barbara! Behind you! Look out! Barbara! Barbara! Man overboard! Man overboard!
Maybe you'd like a swim too, Saint.
What?
From your type of custom-made coma asking, who am I?
Evidently, I wasn't hit quite that hard. I even remember who you are, Dr. Norman. It is Dr. Norman, the celebrated psychiatrist, isn't it?
Yeah, that is very good, Templar, but I'm afraid I must still confine you here to the ship's infirmary for a while.
Huh?
Possible concussion.
See, tell me, what makes a famous neurologist like you pose as a near-ship's doctor?
I'm really not posing. Partridge, the ship's physician, is ill.
Oh.
I was within earshot when I heard the familiar call. Is there a doctor in the house? And no, Simon, don't try to get up. I have a flask here, but drink would make you happy.
Oh, not right now, thank you. I recall I have some unfinished business to attend to.
Barbara?
Yes. Was she?
They couldn't find her in the port. She's gone. It was a horrible accident.
Horrible, yes. Accident, no.
You mean to say she didn't fall overboard?
She was murdered.
Murdered? But who?
I think I know who. My head is missing. Like the Aberdeen Proving Ground.
I will mix you a sedative. You know, you're not looking very well.
I always look like this when I'm angry. Only one cure.
Yes, I know. The lady with the scales known as Madame Justice. You know, Templar, I've been curious about what makes a man like you think.
Well, I'll tell you. Every 8 days or so, someone winds me up. Right now, I'm wound up tight. Tight with fury.
Well, as a psychiatrist, I would advise you to unwind me. Here we are. Drink this. It will put you to sleep after a while.
Thank you.
You say you think you know who killed Barbara, sir.
I was wrong. I do know.
But I think you ought to talk to me. Unwind yourself.
You think I need psychiatry, Doctor?
Well, I think you're too taut at the moment. That plus your concussion might be dangerous.
Very well, Doctor, I'll unwind. I'll tell you the entire story.
If you don't mind, Simon, here, this will help you. The metronome. Psychiatrist offered you.
No, I don't mind. I'd never met Barbara Brooks. Although I doubt if there's a human being alive who hasn't heard of her or seen her in the movies. I first saw her the day we boarded ship. There was something in her expression, in the way she walked and talked and smiled, that immediately told me here was someone I should know. Her entire demeanor was an attitude of invitation.
A romance.
Dear doctor, she was a frightened lady. She wanted someone near her. I walked over to her there on deck and immediately made myself useful. Her steward evidently had become busy elsewhere, so I tipped my hat and said somewhat idiotically, get your program here, lady. You can't tell the staterooms without the numbers.
I beg your pardon.
Your steward seems to have deserted you. Oh. I've sailed this scow before, so if it's the direction to your stateroom you're looking
well,
for...
Well, I would like to know.
How was this? Number, please.
836 Main Deck.
Thank you very, very much. It's this way. My name's Templar. Simon, for sure. And, of course, you're Barbara Brooks. You know, we passed the bar en route to A36 Main Deck. There's an old-fashioned with a new acquaintance sounding.
It will, a little later after... Here on the ship.
Ooh, there are several.
He's gone now, you know.
I think I saw the man you meant. A certain off-center gentleman named Rader.
Rader, I don't know that name.
Surely you've heard of Phil Rader. He's just as big a star in his line of work as you are in yours.
What is his line of work?
Well, he's an exterminator of human beings.
I'm afraid.
It's obvious from the moment I first saw you. Why don't you tell me that?
Oh, I can't know. I'd be killed.
As good a reason as any for not telling me, but I must warn you I have a peculiar talent for finding things out for myself.
Oh, no, you mustn't do it if you please. Please.
Thank you.
getting smaller.
Yes, but I understand you're doing your share to see that it doesn't get overcrowded. Traveling for your health again, or just traveling?
Just traveling.
Raider, why does the mere glimpse of you rounding a corner start a lady's teeth chattering?
Lady? I don't know any lady. Obviously. She thought I was someone else.
Maybe. And if you're of a mind to annoy her, you'll wish you were.
Look, Saint, just soak up sunshine on this cruise. Don't go poking in any dark places. Might be bad for you.
Oh, what sort of bad, Raider?
Look, big shot, just so there's no misunderstanding. You butt in where you ain't welcome on this cruise and...
Yes.
And I'll kill you.
How is your head, Sam?
It feels as if a regimental crap game was going on inside of it with jet-propelled dice.
You haven't drunk your sedative yet, here.
Oh, thank you. Shall I go on taking the load off of my concussion?
Yes, by all means. I think I was present at the next degree.
Yes, Doctor, you were. It was the night of that ridiculous costume ball ship captains are so fond of arranging.
Yes. I remember, we were at the bar together. You were a pirate, I recall.
Yes, and you were a clown. The ball was loaded with clowns, some of them not even aware of their clownishness. But it was gay and sprightly, and the music was good. I remember our conversation, Doctor. You suddenly appeared at my elbow and said in the most shivery, sinister manner...
You know, Templar, I have a confession to make to you.
Well, I'm always interested in confessions, Doctor.
I've had a schoolboy crush on the beautiful Barbara ever since I saw her in pictures first. Tell me... What does one do about it?
Well, I know exactly what I would do if I were you, Doctor.
Yes.
I'd consult the nearest psychiatrist.
At the prices we charge? No, thanks. I was hoping you'd cut a fellow in on your acquaintanceship, Templar. But if you won't introduce me, won't you at least show me which mask she's hiding under? I think I might be able to make my own introduction.
Oh, very well, Doctor. Look for a sylph-like figure in a blue and yellow harlequin costume.
Thank you, Templar, thank you. And if you should ever need a good psychiatrist...
At the prices you charge?
I will be seeing you.
Don't turn around, Mr. Templar. I have a pistol in the small of your back.
Now, really, is that any way to enjoy a walk?
Listen, Saint, and listen hard.
Oh, I'm all ears, except for the small of my back, which feels abnormally large at the moment.
Certain arrangements have been made, Saint. It means a big head of lettuce if they go through.
So?
All the signs say keep out. See that you do. Now, don't turn around. This costume's so pretty, I'd hate to have to put a hole through my pocket.
Well, it's probably just a coincidence, but I've acquired the same regard for the small of my back.
Keep regarding it that way, Saint. Don't let your nose wander where it doesn't belong. And you might begin by forgetting you saw certain people aboard this boat.
See, just tell me how you're going to swing it, Mrs. Miller. Well, don't be surprised. I'd recognize the notorious Lil Miller's voice on a party line. How are you going to take him, Lil? A palm daze or perhaps a marked deck?
This rod has a hair trigger, Saint. Just a touch and you're...
Lil, what's the matter?
That girl there. I want
him
to hide
him. Lil.
You're lucky, Saint. I'd have shot.
Give her air. Don't crowd.
Crowd her all you want to. She won't mind now.
Is she?
Yes, a stiletto in the back leaves very little doubt. She's dead.
You know, Simon, I would never have pegged the late Mrs. Miller for a professional card sharp. She was anything but the type.
Professional card sharps are always anything but the type, Doctor.
Yeah. And to think I actually played bridge with her myself. A crook and a hot-headed one at that.
Well, as my old grandmother used to say, Doctor, beware of lady thieves with red hair.
I guess the lady's red hair accounted for the lack of insulation in her temperament. Oh, how does your head feel, son?
Better, Doctor. Much better.
You still haven't touched your sedative.
Haven't I?
I think you'll find that it helps, Simon. Here.
Oh, thank you. Well, you know, shortly after the murder of Mrs. Miller, Doctor... I called on her bereaved husband and partner in crime. A very interesting visit it was, too.
You have the knack for making all of your visits interesting, Simon. Tell me about it.
Well, I found Miller in the bar, quenching his sorrow with the merry waters of the River of Forgetfulness.
50 grand in the palm of our hands and beep. No more Lil. No more Lil, no more sucker. No more sucker, beef, no more 50 grand.
I see you valued your wife highly. Who was the sucker, Miller?
Ha ha, you're funny.
Tell me, what's Phil Rader cruising for, Miller? And don't tell me it's a coincidence he's on board the same ship.
You get funnier and funnier.
Why is Barbara Brooks so afraid of Rader?
You ain't even warm, Saint. You're a mile wide of the target.
And I'd better use a different kind of ammunition then, Miller.
Yeah? Like what?
Like a little murder performed on an unwilling sucker in Reno.
Huh? What do you know about that?
You won't like going back to Reno, Miller. It gets hot in the summertime, especially in the penitentiary.
Rader was with Lil and me on this deal.
All right, Miller, put the zipper on.
Rader, I wasn't going to say anything. Phil, honest, I was just...
Skip it, Miller. I always knew someday you'd show canary yellow. I thought you and I had a little understanding, Saint.
You've got a reputation for wrong thoughts, Rader.
Yeah, but right or wrong, I back my ideas up to the hilt, Saint.
Keep that frog sticker undercover, Rader. I might take it away from you. And the Dutch courage that rides with it, too.
I'll keep it hidden for now. You just be careful of the places where the lights don't shine, Saint. Come on, Miller. I want to talk with you.
Well, I'll be out in a little while, Phil. I want a drink.
You're drunk enough, Canary. Come on.
You'd better go, Miller. And if you can't talk your way out of it, my regards to the fishes.
And I recall it was shortly after Mr. Rader passed on his second warning that you and I met for the first time professionally.
Yes, Doctor, the very next night.
Well, I am very surprised at you. He'd warned you to stay away from dark places.
Yes, Doctor, so he had. But I'm perverse by nature, and I like to poke around. I was strolling around the deck with Barbara, getting moonburned and trying desperately to get some more information.
So wonderful having you near, Simon. I feel safe.
Safe? I refuse to accept the compliment, particularly on a moonlit night at sea.
I'm referring to danger, Simon, not romance.
They're often the very same thing. I'd like to join the team, Barbara. Why don't you confide in me?
Because if I did, we'd both be dead by morning. I must go now. Good night, Simon.
Good night.
Don't turn around, Templar. I've got a...
I know. A gun pointed at the small of my back.
That's it. Now keep away from Barbara Brooks. Am I clear?
Clear enough. Anything else?
Yeah. Just so it sinks in, Sink. Take this along to remember me by.
Once again you enter the picture, Dr. Norman. You found me there, lying on the deck, basking in moonlight.
And blood. Go on, Simon. Tell me the rest of it.
Well, after your neat job of vulcanizing me, thus saving me a trip to the ship's doctor and innumerable words of explanation, I hit upon a strategy, and my next visit found me calling in the lion's den. I tell you, you're being made a patsy, Rader. You're on the verge of being demoted back to second-class hoodlum.
I can take care of myself.
Well, I admit a minor sandbagging committed in your good name doesn't amount to much, Rader. But what if the same someone likes your name and decides to use it in other ways?
What do you mean?
I mean murder. You're a lead pipe cinch to pay for one of your own someday, Rader. But meanwhile, how would you feel getting hung for somebody else's shenanigans?
I'd be annoyed.
You sure would.
Look, I'm not rigged up with no murder, Saint. Lil meant 50 grand to us alive. That's what we figured the sucker was good for.
That's a good enough reason for wanting Lil among the present instead of the late, Rader. Tell me, what was the angle? Blackmail?
Nah, nothing so crude, Saint. I sponsor the party, spot him, finger him, and oil him, and the millers squeeze him through a deck of cards.
Huh?
The guy's a sucker for good-looking dames and card games, that's all.
That sounds very uncomplicated, easy picking.
The guy ain't had the coin long enough to be smart about it.
Who's the guy?
Yeah, he makes water heaters.
The fat man with the diamonds from Passaic.
Yeah, that's the sucker.
I should have tumbled.
Looks like you did. I thought you were out for a bust-up. 50 G's a lot of money, Saint. I figured if I could scare you, it'd be insurance.
How about Barbara Brooks?
Ah, deal me out. I'm not in on whatever the caper is there.
She saw you the day we sailed and she got scared.
Well, maybe it's because I ain't exactly pretty.
Yeah.
But if you really want to know something, Saint, I'll tell you. I was propositioned on a stunt against that dame a few weeks before we sailed. I turned it down. A big dough, too.
A murder deal?
Yeah, big dough to bump her off. Not for me, though. Nah, she's too prominent. Too much heat on those jobs.
Who made the offer, Rader?
He wasn't exactly interested in leaving his calling card thing. Just a John Smith, as far as I'm concerned.
But he had a description, didn't he? Everybody has a description.
Well, sure. He was a medium-sized guy with... Hey, the lights. Who turned them off?
Get down! Rader! Rader, are you...
Brown tie. Blue shirt. Brown tie. Blue shirt.
Brown tie, blue shirt. Not a very harmonious color scheme, is it? Thank you, Rader. At least your last earthly utterance was in the direction of good. Thank you.
Brown tie, blue shirt. What did he mean, Simon?
Well, it means that either the man for whom I search isn't a very fastidious dresser, doctor, or else... Or else he's colorblind. Blue and brown just aren't worn together.
Well, no,
then. I'll take that drink now, doctor.
Oh, and the sedative I mixed for you. Your concussion.
Later, doctor, later.
Very well. I can see that you're going to be a very difficult patient. I hope you don't mind drinking out of another medicine glass, huh?
No, right now I prefer.
Say what?
A little more, doctor. That's fine. That's such a beautiful color, hasn't it, doctor?
Yeah, hasn't it, sir? Aren't you going to drink it, Simon?
In a moment, doctor, when I finish my story.
Oh, yes, of course, this story. Barbara's murder was next.
Yes, Barbara was next. But immediately before our last meeting on deck in the fog, doctor, I found out what she was afraid of.
You did? But how?
It was easy. The steward had some keys. I had some money. The steward has enough now for that chicken ranch he's always dreamed of.
You broke into Barbara's stateroom.
Yes.
Well, what did you find, Simon?
Oh, lingerie, perfume, stockings, and some letters, doctor. Peculiar letters.
Huh? Fan me?
Yes. Yes, and all from the same fan. A fan she was once engaged to marry, doctor. A fan who loved her very much and hated her in equal proportion. Who was so torn between love and hate, he had to kill her.
Schizophrenic.
You should know.
What do you mean?
Well, you know the classifications. You're the doctor.
Oh. Drink your sedative, Simon.
A colorblind schizophrenic. I don't believe I've ever met one before, Dr. Norman. So colorblind, he mistook the green and orange harlequin costume worn by Lil Miller for the blue and yellow one worn by Barbara.
That is very interesting, Simon.
Poor Lil. If she'd come to the ball as anything but a harlequin, she'd have lived to take in $50,000.
Your sedative, Simon.
You know, you were wrong about Lil's hair, doctor. It wasn't red. It was brown.
You said it was red.
I wanted to see if you'd agree.
Your sedative.
Yes, of course. Hand it to me, would you, doctor? They're alongside the drink. Yeah. No, don't try to tell them apart by their aromas, doctor. It's obvious that they're different colors. Well, can't you tell?
You find it, Saint. I'd like very much for you to drink it.
My doctor, what a pretty purple gun you're wearing. Or is it pink?
Drink up, Tipler. You hardly feel it. It's just a dash of prussic acid.
Dr. Norman, when you give a sedative, you go overboard.
Drink it, Tipler.
Well, you're the doctor. A toast to you, Dr. Norman. To your green shirt, blue tie, and gray handkerchief. None of which match. Here's how.
Oh, my eyes! You threw it in my eyes!
It was a question of your eyes or my stomach, Doctor.
In my eyes, I blind.
You'll get over it, Doctor, which is more than can be said of me if one of those wild shots of yours should hit me. I know I shouldn't practice medicine without a license, Doctor, any more than you should. But here's a sedative from me to you. Pleasant nightmares, Dr. Norman.
You have been listening to another adventure of The Saint, the Robin Hood of modern crime. And now here is our star, Vincent Price.
Ladies and gentlemen, in a prejudice-filled America, no one would be secure in his job, his business, his church, or his home.
Yet racial and religious antagonisms are exploited daily by quacks and adventurers whose followers make up the irresponsible lunatic fringe of American life. Refuse to listen to or spread rumors against any race or religion. Help to stamp out prejudice in our country. Let's judge our neighbors by the character of their lives alone, and not on the basis of their religion or origin. This is Vincent Price inviting you to join us again next week at the same time for another exciting adventure of the saint. Good night.
Was written by Michael Cramoy. Our cast included Betty Lou Gerson, Gene Bates, Frank Gerstel, Bill Conrad, and Barney Phillips. The music was composed and conducted by Harry Zimmerman. The Saint, based on characters created by Leslie Charteris, is a James L. Saphir production and is directed by Thomas A. McAvity. Vincent Price is soon to be seen in Harry M. Popkin's production of Champagne for Caesar, co-starring Ronald Colman. All you Saint fans will be glad to know that the Saint comic books are on sale at all newsstands. Your announcer, Merrill Ross.
The Saint, on Tuned to Yesterday from the 18th of September, 1949, from Mutual. And that does it for this hour of crime for Tuned to Yesterday. Be sure to be with us next time for more great programs from radio's past. Until our next hour together, I'm Mark LeVonier. Thanks for tuning in.